This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's Father's Day message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, A Godly Man.
Even a casual observer to the 21st century, just kind of giving a glance overview to history that's being made, recognizes that change is taking place very rapidly. In our time. In former times, change would take decades, generations, centuries, but change now takes place almost overnight. Things that were don't seem to be anymore. Things that used to be just aren't. What was up is down, what was right is wrong, and it spreads a tremendous sense of chaos and confusion in our world and in our lives. And certainly one of the biggest changes that's come along in the 21st century and the close of the 20th century is how words have changed. One of the benchmarks of a secular society and a secular mindset is the changing of words. They talk about it as part of the postmodernistic times in which we live, a time when what used to have a definite meaning as a word, no longer has that definite meaning. Those words have changed. Even if I were to say to you, a father, well, that name, that title is controversial. Gene played that song about let there be peace on earth. One of the lines in that song is, with God as our father. Well, if you read the way it's written these days, with God, our creator. Because in this gender-neutral world, even the use of the word father has political and social implications that seem to be negative. Scary, but true. This is the way things are going in our time. It seems that we have embarked on a cultural crusade to destroy the very foundational traditions of marriage and the roles of men. In his book, Hollywood versus America, the film critic Michael Medved writes these words, "We've come a long way from the model of the hugely popular Andy Hardy movies of the 1930s, with a young Mickey Rooney learning life lessons from his father, Lewis Stone, a stern but kindly small-town judge. If they remade those films today, if those films were made today, it would be Andy who taught the old man a thing or two about tolerance and the environment. In today's climate, a television series called Father Knows Best would be absolutely unthinkable. It would be deemed too judgmental, too authoritarian, too patriarchal, and perhaps even sexist. A program entitled Father Knows Nothing would stand a far better chance." Maybe you agree, maybe you don't, but that's one man's assessment. Medved's book points to that both the entertainment industry and our society have radically changed over the last 60 years. Some husbands and wives both have to work. Some of them have to work two and three jobs just to make ends meet. Society has changed. Demands have changed. Some families have a stay-at-home dad and a mom who ventures out into the very difficult corporate jungle every single day. While there still is a growing minority of married couples who have the traditional role of a dad out to work and a mom at home. Even though societal definition and standards for gender and marriage have changed, the Bible hasn't. Biblical standards and biblical definitions have not changed, and they never will. Although there are such things as gender-neutral Bibles, you should know. So God created women and God created men as absolute spiritual equals, and neither is inferior to the other. That's what we read in Scripture. Peter sums it up this way in Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And Paul goes on to write these words in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When God looks down upon you, he doesn't look down upon you the way the world looks at us. He doesn't divide us into different divergent little groups based on age and gender and society's position. He looks at us and sees us either covered by his son or not covered by the blood of his son. And the Bible makes no distinction when it comes to sin and sinners. Look at Romans 3:23. What does it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No differentiators, no distinctions made. We all sin. In Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, all inclusive. Everyone can join this family. The Bible makes no distinction when it comes to baptism. Look at Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, back in those days, the place of a woman was probably the same level as any other thing you owned. And to raise the level of men and women to the same place and say that in God's eyes, we are both equal, both distinct in our roles and differences, but in God's eyes, all the same when it comes to spiritual things in particular. Then the Bible makes no distinction of what it will cost us to follow Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in Acts 22 and verse 4. And I, Paul, persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Paul didn't make a distinction when it came to which Christians he was going to kill and which Christians he wasn't. He was out to get them all. The two sexes were designed to partner each other like interlocking pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. And the emerging picture portrays inseparable oneness and absolute unity. Women bring unique qualities to a relationship, as do men. We heard some of that this morning in the testimonies that we heard. The book of Proverbs reveals a godly father and a godly man has a special and a certain responsibility to be a spiritual leader and a role model to his family. So turn with me in your Bible and let's stand for the reading of the word. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 19 in your Bibles and here on PowerPoint. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy light among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Thank you. You may be seated. Solomon was given the title of the wisest man who ever lived. And he's inspired by God to write out some of his own life experiences. Now you need to know that Solomon did not live with the things he wrote about. Solomon fell quite a bit, but he learned a lot from his experiences and he shares them. He's like that picture of the father and the children going down the road together and God kind of sharing all the things, and the father sharing the things that he's experienced in life. It's like a mentor who shares in the experiences of their life with the person whom they are mentoring. It's like the discipler and the disciple. Not only sharing what is theoretical, not just sharing what's in the book, but sharing how those things have worked in their own life and shown themselves in their experience how they work. And Solomon wants to share and tell about how the things have worked in his life with the things of the Lord. But it's true that that should be something every person would want to do. Every parent wants their child to be happy. Who here doesn't want the people in their life whom they love to be happy? We all want to see that for those whom we love. Every person who loves and every person who has a child wants their child to be safe. That's probably one of the biggest four-letter word in our time. Safe. There is that sense in our society that we don't feel safe. And every time something happens, a little kid gets dragged off in Disney World by an alligator. Everybody sees their own kid being dragged off into the waters. Who would have thought? But because these images come to before us all the time and so frequently, a lot of us don't feel too safe ourselves, let alone safe for our children. But that's what every parent wants. And every parent wants, and everyone you love, you want to see them to be successful at whatever it is they put their hand. That's our heart's desire, and that's the spirit in which Solomon is writing the book of Proverbs. He wants to impart the skills necessary for his children to live a happy life. It's going to take skills for young people to negotiate the difficult issues of our time. It's going to take skill for adults to negotiate the difficult issues of that time. Skills are things you can learn. And if you want to learn life skills, here's the text. Amen? Here's the text for learning life lessons. He presents advice about the issues of life the way men do. Someone pointed this out. Men are more fact-based and practical. They'll give you the how-to approach to life and problem-solving. Women present a little differently. I think Ida pointed it out. They are more, with more of an emphasis on the feeling and the heart. We need both of those. We need facts and we need feelings. We need to have a proper balance in dealing with life's issues. Kids, young people need their mom and their dad to talk to them about things. It's not just dad's job and it's not just mom's job. It's both. The feminist Gloria Steinem wrote these words, and it's hard to imagine she wrote them. Listen, most American children suffer from too much mother and too little father. Where are the dads today in the lives of young people? It's a very big question that our society has to wrestle with, because what's happening to our young people is what's happening to our country. And you can take it all the way out. What's happening in our families happens in our churches and happens in our institutions, and it will eventually be the birthright of our country. In verse 7, Solomon writes, the secret to a happy and healthy life begins by knowing God. It doesn't end there, but it begins by knowing God. You've got to get up to bat. And the only way you can get up to bat and have a happy life is to step on the base with God, is to ask God to allow Christ to come into my heart, confess our sin, become part of his family, and the battle and the role and life begins. Joshua was Moses' successor. He was a man's man. He was a national hero. He was noted for his bravery. This is what he writes in Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's just not something that he said. His kids could see that in him. If you want to be a role model, not just inside your home, but in your business. In other words, if you want to be a testimony to the people around you at work, at school, at home, wherever it is that you are, if you want to have a testimony, people are going to have to see it and hear it. They're going to have both. They're going to have to see authentic Christianity being lived out in you, both in your demeanor and in your behavior and in your words. Nobody's perfect, but in that imperfection, there is a wonderful testimony. If God can work like this in my life, imagine what he can do in your life. I come to him as an imperfect creature. I don't come to him as that perfectly straight board without knots. This boy is wavy and knotty. But God still takes it and he uses it as the building material to make something beautiful of my life and yours. Joshua was a spiritual role model, and that qualified him to be a teacher. You see, when you have a testimony, you can tell others about Christ in such a way that you're speaking from your heart, based on the facts of what Jesus has done in your life. Somehow through the years, men have gotten the idea that church is not for them. It's okay for the wife, it's okay for the kid. Statistics show that boys follow dad. If he's not in church, where will the boys go? It's not a rhetorical question. It's a serious question. It's been said, quote, one father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. One father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. Why? They're watching you 24/7. They're watching me 24/7. Verses 8 to 19 demonstrate father, husband has the role of protector. That was brought up by somebody this morning. He's going to give his wife and his children the benefit of what he knows to be the dangers of life, a protector. Dad knows how other guys think. Can we fill in the blanks as to why? I mean, because he's a guy. He's been where other guys are. I learned a lot. When I went into basic training, I heard of things I never heard of in my life, saw things I never saw in my life, ate stuff I never ate in my life. Chip beef on toast. What? Father who's been out in the world, a man who's been out in the world, knows how susceptible our young people are. Christian men know how susceptible and how fragile the thinking of our young people is. How many young people have gone to church all their life, learned in Sunday school, heard the preaching, went to vacation Bible school, did good in grade school, hung in high school, went off to university, and never came home the same way. By the time the secular world got their hands on them, by the time their friends and professors got them, you wouldn't know them as Christians anymore. Why is that? A father knows that, and men know that. And verse 10 warns, as a protector, a father warns his children about peer pressure. Peer pressure. The stuff that's going to come down from your friends, the people who you know and who you respect. In 2016, peer pressure confronts people, especially young people, more than ever. You know, you used to be able to get away from your friends. Now you can't get away from your friends. I mean, guys who are in sales, Jeff, guys who are in sales, they used to be able to get away from the customer, get away from the office. You can't get away from the customer or the office anymore. They know where you are. They can reach out to you on your phone, whatever. Today, people are confronted by their peers on the internet, BuzzFeed, Snapchat, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. These things are in people's face. It sounded like I knew what I was talking about, didn't it? These things are in your face 24/7. Here's a short article I just got from The Week magazine, dated June 17th. Somewhere, quote, somewhere, maybe at this very moment, neurologists are trying to figure out what all the screen time is doing to the still forming brains of teenagers, members of what's known as Generation Z. Why do they have to put a label on everybody's generation? I don't know, but this is it. Generation Z, teenagers, that's what you are. Look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm Generation Z. Educators are trying to teach them that not all answers are Googleable. Googleable. It says it, Googleable. Counselors are prying them out of internet addictions. Parents are trying to catch up. by friending their kids on Facebook. Listen to this, parenthesis, P.S., Facebook is obsolete, close parenthesis, says that right here. Sociologists, advertisers, stock market analysts, everyone wants to know what happens when the generation born glued to screens has to look up and interact with the real world, end quote. Wow. Young people have been bullied over the internet at school and at home. Some have been unable to deal with that bullying, the cruel and verbal abuse that comes across, that challenges them at every step of their progress, that challenges their appearance, that challenges their acumen in school, challenges them just because they're different. And these kids can't get away from that bullying, because it's so omnipresent on social media. When social media and cruel friends tear down a young girl's appearance and her confidence, a dad can tell his daughter she's beautiful. Tell her that she doesn't need tons of makeup to be beautiful. Tell her she doesn't need surgery or provocative dress to be beautiful. And she may even believe him. Why? She may even believe these compliments coming from this man. Why? Because he's a guy, and he's the first guy she ever loved in her life. Daughters need strong, loving fathers to help them become strong, healthy women. Verse 6 to 18 tells us choices have consequences. Violence breeds violence. If we haven't gotten that clear in our heads by now, every time we turn on the screen, something else is happening that is disturbing and violent. Hate breeds hate. Those words shouldn't pass our lips. Hate. Sexual impurity destroys lives. It becomes an addiction you cannot break. It goes where no other sin can go, into the very making up of your psyche. It destroys from within. And greed is never, ever satisfied. When did a billionaire ever say, I've had enough, thank you. I've got enough, thank you. It's very rare. It may be somebody, but the exception doesn't prove the rule. Just more and more and more. Verse 20, he gives advice and he tells us to become lifelong learners of God's word. Imparting biblical truths is one of the gifts a father can give to his children. It's a legacy item. And when a father lovingly presents things of the Lord to his children and lives out those truths, there is an increased probability that the children will receive them. Solomon takes responsibility for raising a happy, healthy, godly child on two people, himself and his wife. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he ought to go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Lifelong lessons and values should not be ceded to anybody, not to the schools, not to the culture, not to the government. The center of learning, the very first center of learning, is always the home. The home is where the father's influence is the most potent. It's in the home that children see the believing family live out its faith. It's in the home that children learn the truth of God's transforming power, because they see it in mom and dad as they work out life's day-to-day struggles. It's in the home that children get the tools to push back on the culture's assault on traditional family and the roles of men and women in a healthy and happy lifelong relationship God instituted called marriage. According to Ephesians 5:22-33, a godly husband will love and honor his wife as much as he loves himself, and a godly wife will hold her husband with the same honor and loving devotion. It's in this mutual, complementary, and loving relationship a Christian husband and a Christian wife will accomplish what God set out for them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that two people can love and care for one another and nurture one another so that they will become one flesh. The missing element in the glue that holds a family, a church, and a nation together are godly men. Godly men. Question: if there were more godly, Christ-serving men in business, education, entertainment, politics, church, and home, would they make a difference on those institutions? What do you think? If there were more godly men standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ and for things that are right, would it make a difference? If you're a godly man here today and you go out to business, your testimony is being watched and being seen. Jesus refers to the believer as, and you know this, light and salt in the world. If there was ever a time for us men to brighten and flavor our corner of the world, as godly men sold out for Jesus Christ, it is such a time as this. And so my encouragement to the men sitting here this morning and those who will be listening over the internet and listening over the radio, you can make a difference for Christ and the cause of the kingdom of Christ. Do it. Do it. Be the godly man that God intended you to be. Perfect? No. Faithful? Yes. Let's pray. Someplace you wrote, "Give me men to match my mountains, men who'll stand tall, straight, and strong." Help us, Lord, not to be overwhelmed by how the world wants to define godliness or manliness, but let us seek your face. Let your Holy Spirit teach us and guide us and lead us and watch over us. Help us to be a testimony, Lord, to the people around us, especially those around us at home, and those with whom we come in contact. Help them to see, not us, but to see Jesus. And in seeing Jesus, they will be drawn to you. You said it, Lord. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Help us to lift him up. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Beginning Sunday, June 26th, Amwell Church of the Brethren service hours will change to Sunday School, 9:15 a.m., worship service, 10:15 a.m.